The question was asked, we see situations where a whole town can do something evil, and then someone among them says, no, I'm not going to do that. It could be among Jews, it could be among non-Jews, where certain individuals go against the tide and do what's right, and how are we supposed to understand that? So I want to begin with two different concepts, and then come back to this, okay? The Talmud tells us that there was a king named Chizkiyahu who was very ill, and God in heaven had a reason for making him so ill. Chizkiyahu refused to get married. He saw in prophetic vision that he would have a son who would bring about the destruction of the temple, Menashe. And so he said, what am I getting married for? So he refused to get married. So God says, that's not your business. Your job is to get married and bring kids. You can't say, I see in prophecy that the future will be such. No, even though you're right, you still have to get married. So Chizkiyahu is not getting married, and God doesn't like it, so God makes him deathly ill. The prophet Yeshayahu, who is his second cousin, comes in and visits him and tells him, God sent me to tell you that you should prepare a will, leave instructions for your family about how things should run, because you're dying, you're going to die now, and you're not coming to the world to come. So Chizkiyahu says, whoa, wait a second. I've done so many mitzvos. What's this all about? What did I do? So Yeshayahu says, the first mitzvah in the Torah is to procreate, to bring kids to the world. You're not busy with that. So God's fed up with you. So Chizkiyahu says, okay, but I didn't want to do it because I saw in prophetic vision I'd have a son that would destroy the temple. So I didn't want to bring kids to the world. So Yeshayahu says, that's God's business. That's not your business. You have a mitzvah. You get married, bring kids to the world. Whether you'll have children like this or like that, you'll do your best. But what are you dealing with God's business for? Your job is to do your mitzvahs. Go get married. Chizkiyahu says, fine. If I was wrong, okay, you're my Rebbe. You're telling me to do that. Fine. I'll get married. No problem. You have a daughter. You're a tzaddik. Let me marry your daughter. Maybe your merit together with my merit. We'll have good grandchildren, maybe it'll work out right. Yeshayahu says, didn't you hear what I told you? You're dying. God said it's finished. It's over. You're dead. What do you want to marry my daughter for? Forget it. You're a dead man. Chizkiyahu says, excuse me? God said, I'm going to be dead. I know. You have any more prophecy to say, son of Amoz? Because if you're finished with your prophecy, then say whatever other prophecy you have to say, and whatever isn't prophecy, then get out. I have a tradition from our mutual grandfather. Afilu cherev chadam unachat al tzavaro shel adam. Even if there's a sharp sword that's already placed on a person's neck, meaning all you have to do is let go and roop, it slices through. Al yimnatzmo min harachamim. Don't withhold yourself from asking for mercy. King David was grabbed by Goliath's brother and he said, you're finished. And he threw him up and put his sword down on the ground and held it for King David to land on the sword. And King David was headed down for the sword, about to die, and he prayed. And miraculously he was saved. And from there King David left over a tradition. Even in the worst case, do not withhold yourself from asking for mercy. Al yimna atzmo min harachamim. And so Chizkiyahu prays, and even though he was deathly ill, he had an illness that no one was ever cured from in world history, and the prophet already told him, God decreed, you're dead. He was cured. And the decree was overturned, and he married Yeshayahu's daughter, and he had children, and he lived for another almost two more decades. So that's the story in a nutshell. Let's look back at the line that Yeshayahu has on tradition from his great-great-grandfather, David. Chizkiyahu had this tradition. What did he say? Afilu cherev chada munachat al tzavaro shel adam, even if a sharp blade is placed on a person's throat, al yimna atzmo min harachamim. He shouldn't withhold himself from asking for mercy. Is that the way we would have worded it? We would have said, even if a sharp blade is placed on his throat, he should pray. But that's not what he said. Right? He worded it differently. He said he should not withhold himself from praying. So it struck me today. Why did Chizkiyoh word it that way? Why did King David word it that way? Pause. We'll come back to this. Let's take another subject. What do we call a person who denies God's existence or denies the Torah? What's he called in Hebrew? A kofer. Thank you. What does the word kofer mean? Either to cover, meaning to put a layer of tar on top of, or to deny. Why don't we have a unique word for him? Why don't we call him an apostate, an atheist? We call him a denier. You can deny something that is. Meaning, we're alluding to the idea that deep down inside, he also knows it is. He's just denying. There's a difference. An atheist comes with a declaration. This is what I believe. An apostate comes with a declaration. I don't know. A denier comes and says, I'm not willing to accept that. I'm denying. And in Hebrew, when we want to describe someone who's not accepting the Torah, God, tradition, we call him a denier. What did Chizkiyoh say to Yeshayahu? He says, Al yimna atzmo min harachamim. Meaning, the nature of man. When a person's lying on that deathbed, and the doctors told him the worst case scenario, and there's no cure around, right? That's Chizkiyoh's state. No cure in world history. No one ever got up from his illness. The prophet came in and told him he's dead. So King David touched on a very subtle point here. King David says, but deep down inside you want to pray. You still want to talk to the one who controls the world. And you're faced with a challenge. Because your logic says, nah. Your neshama says, yeah. But it's a quiet yeah. And this is a challenge that a person faces throughout his life. Rav Soloveitchik wrote about this a lot. Where sometimes we feel like God is right here. It's as though He's standing right next to us. It's so obvious He's here. We look at the world and there are moments when it seems obvious there's a God. And at the very same moment, we can cover it all up and say, where? Prove it. Show it to me. I don't get it. Because we don't get it here. Our neshama here gets it and our mind says, wait, I have questions. I could work them out, but I still have questions. Not so clear. But it is so clear. But it's not so clear. And we fluctuate. We have this constant inner struggle. Comes Chizkiyoh and says, in the worst moment, in the moment where everything feels like it's finished, al yimna atzmo, a person shouldn't withhold himself, because even then, a person has to be proactive to stop it. Because deep down inside, his gut says, yes, you want to daven. And the question is, will he withhold himself? Will he say, no, I don't? Because there's this constant struggle going on within man. The neshama pulls one way, and the body pulls another way. We have a constant fight. So Chizkiyoh and King David so aptly worded it, don't withhold yourself. Let's go back to the story we were discussing. You have a town that turns on their neighbors and says, we're going to do a pogrom and murder everyone. Every single person in that town has a conscience. And somewhere inside of them, they have a feeling I should be doing different, but I don't want to. Every time we're faced with this type of challenge, we have those two feelings from within. We have that God-given conscience. There's something in us that yells and says, don't. And there's that tremendous desire that says, yeah, you do. You're going to do that. You want to do that. Don't listen. Jiminy Cricket, get out of here. I got better things to do. Come on. This is going to be so much fun. This is going to be so lucrative. You know, come on. We have this all the time. How many times does a person cheat on his taxes? Does he know it's wrong? Sure, he knows it's wrong. People like to look the other way. I had a funny thing this week. I was at the checkout counter, and my thing rang up as 26 shekel and 10 agurot. I had 26 shekel. I didn't have the 10 agurot. I had a 200 shekel bill on me. So the woman behind the counter says, leave the 10 agurot. So I walk away from the counter and I ask myself, okay, I paid the 26 shekel. Where's that 10 agurot coming from? I owe the store 10 agurot. So I understand she doesn't feel like standing there and breaking the change for 10 agurot. But she's stealing from the store and I'm being an accomplice to that theft. 10 agurot. But I still owe them those 10 agurot. So I stood there and I rummaged through all my, you know, sometimes you think in your bag and in this pocket and in that pocket, maybe I have 10 agurot. I didn't have the time for this, but I didn't want to leave without paying the 10 agurot. But I did want to leave without paying the 10 agurot. I desperately want to leave without paying the 10 agurot. It wasn't worth my time for the 10 agurot. But what can you do? You stand there and you fight yourself and you say, no, I got to pay the 10 agurot. So I waited till the next guy in line finished and I said, look, I don't have the 10 agurot. Let's break the 200. I made believe like she hadn't told me, forget the 10 agurot. Like she had just said, you know, go look for it. So I said, I went through all my bags. I don't see any 10 agurot. Let's just break the 200. So she goes there and she files out 199 shekel and 90 agurot. Okay? Believe me, I didn't want to go for the 10 agurot.
She didn't want to.
Fine. But, you know, I understand at the end of the day, for her mistakes, she's allowed... The company will give her a certain amount, up to, let's say, 3 shekel of mistakes. She doesn't have to pay for it. But that doesn't mean you can, lechatchila, say, forget the 10 agurot. It's not her money to forgo. It's not a mistake. It's her saying, I don't want to deal with this. Who said? So, in all honesty, I didn't want to do it. I had to fight myself to do it. But deep down inside, I started walking away afterwards. Meaning I took my bags and I started walking and I said, stop, hey, wait a second, what you doing? We all have those moments. And so a person has a choice. Am I going to listen to that Jiminy Cricket? Am I going to do what's right or not? And we all have those choices. And when it comes to the big stories, so then we have big choices. And very often, if we get used to listening to that voice on the small stories, then when the big stories come, we're already used to listening to him. Whereas if we quiet him out on small things, like small change, so then when the big things come, well, we're used to silencing him. So come on, stop being an egg, stop being a nudnik. You know, we have all kinds of answers to that little conscience we have, which is really little, but it has potential to be big. But it's up to us. So yes, people made the right choices. But you know what? Even the people who made the wrong choices had the choice to make the right choice. Not easy, but they had that choice. And every one of us, we're granted a tzelem elokim. We are created in God's fashion. That means we're given the capacity to choose right. We have that responsibility. Not easy, but we have the potential. And it's up to us to realize that potential. And those who do, so they're the shining stars of world history. That's the Chassidim, Umot HaOlam, for sure.